reminds me of the topic, nailing your first big... Nailing your first big novel. So I thought we'd talk about carpentry for a while. No, seriously. I think she chose that subject because I'm best known for this book writing breakout novel and the workshops that I teach based upon it. And they are about constructing big-scale fiction. That is, not fiction that is necessarily long or epic. Other books about that, but about fiction that is high impact. The workshops that I teach delve into this in depth. I will be out in Pleasanton, out in the sort of East Bay area, I think, for the next week, teaching a breakout novel intensive workshop there. I spent an entire week doing story development. There's an awful lot to do. There's an awful lot to talk about. We've got 45 minutes this afternoon, so I hope you're in a hurry. No, seriously, there's not, we can only just sort of scratch the surface in 45 minutes. And since we can only do that, I thought we would focus a little bit in our three quarters of an hour together on some of the story development that you can do that relates to the feeling of bigness in a story. What makes a story feel big? Even if it's small in scope, even if it takes place only in one small town. Even if there are only a few main characters, some novels like that nevertheless feel enormous. They have tremendous impact. How is that effect achieved? If you are writing a big-scale novel anyway, they can paradoxically feel pretty small. That's interesting. I'm sure you've read books like that. I certainly have. So how do you achieve that high impact? What are some of the factors that do that? So I thought we would try a couple of story development exercises, such as we do in my workshops, things that you can do right now today, that will get toward the bigness, the impact in the novel that you're working on right now. And I'm making the generous assumption that you're working on a novel right now. How did I know? Anyone here not working on a novel right now? Dude, yes, you are. Link short stories, maybe. I don't know. In any event, do you all have something to write with? You can do this as a mental exercise, but it's a heck of a lot better if you write stuff down. Those good ideas that strike you in the next 45 minutes, you know, they will evaporate later. Write down. Now, bigness comes in part from the stakes in the story. In other words, what the story means, what the events of the story mean to us and to the characters in the story. And indeed, let's focus first on an issue that is particularly pertinent to what we call character-driven stories. We mentioned this yesterday. If your story is driven entirely by the needs, desires, longing, yearning, journey, or whatever it is of the main characters, it's not a heavily plotted book in the sense that, oh my gosh, the fate of the world is at stake and we got to fix it all by 2 o'clock this afternoon. Oh, wait. then you are working on a character-driven story. How do you raise the stakes in a character-driven story, in a romantic story, in a journey story, in a coming-of-age novel, where there aren't those big public stakes? How do you raise the stakes? Well, let's work on that. This, by the way, has application for and is useful to do in any kind of novel. So if you're writing a big commercial thriller, let's say, please do this exercise anyway. All right, think about your main character. Write down the name for me, please, of your protagonist. If you have more than one, that's okay. Let's just focus on one of them for now. Write down the name. It's helpful to focusing thing to do. Now, what is this character's main problem? What is it that gives them conflict? What is their goal, to use a common term in our business? Or, to look at it differently, what is the need, the yearning, the desire, or whatever it is that impels this character into action, sets them into motion, sets them doing something or possibly avoiding something? What is the main problem? Write it down. one sentence, that's great. You're on your way to what you're going to pitch tomorrow, the speed dating. Now let's think about this problem, the problem itself. Think about its relationship to this character. Now, write down for me new ways in which this problem could matter more to this protagonist than it does already in your story. What are additional ways in which this problem would have personal meaning, a significant impact or keenness, I suppose, for this protagonist? What makes this problem acute? What makes this problem matter, and what can make it matter more than it does already? Now, you've already worked some of this out in your story. That's fine. Let's dig deeper. What can make it matter more to your protagonist? Makes this problem hurt. What makes this problem chronic? What makes this problem unique for this character? Other people have this problem. Other people have this desire, this yearning. Other people are on this journey. How is it different, specific, personal for your protagonist? We all want to make a journey of self-discovery, and hopefully we're doing that. But why does this particular journey matter for this particular protagonist? What is it about the journey itself, this particular journey, the path, the places even that this person is going? Why these places rather than other places? Why this journey rather than other journeys? What is it about this protagonist that impels them to tackle this particular problem? What is it in their makeup? Let's dig beyond the circumstances of their situation to what is fundamental, what is personal and deep and ingrained in this character. Why do they care more than you or me? Now, a few of you are looking kind of blank here. So this problem now matters as much as it can possibly matter. Okay. If this is you, you can move on to the next question, which is, what would make this problem matter even more? Why is this problem profound? Why is it the defining problem for this character? How is it that this character cares more than any other, anyone else, about this particular problem? Why? Write it down. Take a look at this problem. What makes this problem deeply personal? What is the childhood connection to this problem? If we are bothered by things in life, it is often because we are carrying around something from our childhood, and what is happening now associates, relates in some way to something that hurt us or wounded us or bothered us long ago, something that we have not resolved. We haven't reached that subject yet in therapy. For your protagonist, how does this relate to their childhood? Everything that bothers us relates somehow in that deep, deep, deep and personal childlike way. To illustrate, I have a problem with the number one downtown subway train in New York City. Few of you have heard me tell this story before, so I apologize. But I no longer take it to work for reasons that you'll soon understand. But for a couple of years, I lived on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and I would take the number one downtown subway train in the morning down to Southern Midtown in Manhattan, where my office is. Every day, when I would arrive at the 85th Street subway station on the downtown side, I would arrive if the train was leaving the station. Swiping my little Metro card through the turnstile slot as the doors were closing, ding dong, and the train would start to slide away. I would dash onto an empty platform, feeling like a complete idiot. I would arrive on an empty platform and watch the two red taillights of the train, knowing that I was going to now spend the maximum amount of time on that freezing or sweltering subway platform. Or I would arrive at the top of the stairs, you know, the subway underground, so there's stairs downward. I would arrive as people were pouring up out of the stairs, meaning the train had just left the station. This happened every damn day. Every day. So I tried leaving 5 minutes sooner. I tried leaving 10 minutes later. Every day. It started to get under my skin. It really bothered me. Lisa is here, said, notice us, after a while we'd be on Saturday, we'd be walking up to the subway to go somewhere, and I'd say, see the subway steps? Watch, when we get within 10 yards, people will start to pour out. And sure enough, they would. Every fucking time. I started keeping track in a little notebook. Ha ha ha.